I want you to turn your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Mark. Would you do that, please? Mark in the fourth chapter. Mark chapter 4. I love the area of Scripture in these Gospels, Mark chapter 4 and chapter 5. There's a few reasons as to why that I really like it. Maybe I'll share some of that here. I hadn't intended on going this direction this morning either. I feel impressed. There's something the Lord just impressed upon my heart, and I want to share it with you this morning for just a few minutes. In Mark chapter 4, if and when you found your place, go ahead and join me and rise to your feet. Appreciate the sweet presence of the Lord. I appreciate the peace of God that He gives to us in our hearts. Not just in our daily lives, but I tell you, as they were singing a little while ago, it is well with my soul. Just thinking about my soul is healthy. Some of our hearts may not be healthy, physically speaking. Some of our legs may not be healthy, physically speaking. Our arms, or whatever the case may be. But thanks be to God that my soul is healthy. And it makes all the difference when you pillow your head on a dark night when you're in the middle of the trial and the difficulty of life to know that your soul is in good shape. Your soul is healthy. Look with me in Mark chapter 4. And let's consider a little bit about this. I love this passage of Scripture, as I said a moment ago. Mark chapter 4, would you begin? Just look with me right now in the 37th verse. Perhaps some of you will recognize that I have preached from this before. In this passage before, about this story, I don't remember if I pulled it from this particular account or not, but from this story, and you'll recognize it. The Bible says in verse number 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind." How many of you know that wind can do a lot of damage? Wind will mess up a whole lot of things. Matter of fact, wind controls a lot of stuff, doesn't it? Wind will blow down your barn. Wind is what moves the clouds that brings the heavy storms and the rains in on the storms that come into our areas. Wind, in this case, is what will control the sea and what will cause the sea to get rough. And it says right here that there was a great storm of wind. And the waves, there it is, bear into the ship so that it was now full of water. Water was pouring into the ship, and he, that is Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they, that is the disciples, awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace. Notice the punctuation here. There is a pause. He says, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and the waves, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Father, I thank you for your word today, and I thank you for what it represents, and I thank you for how you've spoken to my heart through this service already, and through this passage of Scripture already this morning. I'm grateful for it. Now, Lord, as we gather in this place today, I am very well aware there are people, Lord, that have the waves that are heavy in their life. The wind is causing the waters of this world to pour into their boats. Many today may even feel like they are on the verge of sinking, but I pray that you would remind us in a fresh way this morning from your Word, that you know how to calm that storm. You know, Lord, how to speak peace to it, no matter what it may be that we are faced with. Make this real to us. I pray for that man that is here today that is lost. Lord, there is a question in his heart of whether heaven would be his home or not. I pray for that individual today. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Ghost conviction would move in that life. I pray for that lady that's in the same condition today. She just doesn't know if heaven would be her home. I pray, God, that you would move in that heart. Those, Lord, that are just confused, those that are just overwhelmed, those that are discouraged, may today be the day they find help from you in this house. Sweet Holy Ghost of God, help us, I pray, for Jesus' sake and for His glory. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing with me. You may be seated, of course. Several months ago, or a couple of months ago, 6 or 8 weeks ago, I had the privilege of being able to stand on the Sea of Galilee in a boat and preach the Word of God. And I preached that day from this very passage of Scripture. I shared some of the similar thoughts to this as we were on that boat in the Sea of Galilee and experiencing one of the most powerful encounters that I have ever had in my life. It was a special time. It was a precious time. I stood there that day, and as I was beginning and preparing to get ready to preach, and as everybody was mingling around, we walked out onto that boat. And we boarded on it, and I think there was 25 of us and 4 or 5 crews, so there was somewhere around 28 to 30 people or so that was on board that boat. I looked out across the Sea of Galilee, and many of you may have seen a video that I'd sent back on that of the Sea of Galilee. I looked back across the Sea of Galilee, and I started thinking to myself about all of the things that God had done on those very waters. I started thinking about all the different accounts in Scriptures where the Lord showed up and God had done a mighty work there. And so much of what God had done was done right there on the Sea of Galilee. And we could talk about so many. We've got the account in Matthew chapter 14 about how Jesus and Peter were walking on the water. You remember that, don't you? Then you've got the account in Matthew 17, the account of the coin in the fish's mouth. And then if you were to flip to John chapter 21, you would find the account of how that Peter jumped out of the boat and he swam to the shore where he met the Master. And he was so thrilled and so excited to see the God that had been crucified and risen from the dead, the man that he loved, the man that he had followed, and the man that he would give his life for. There's so many things that we could talk about concerning the Sea of Galilee. And when I went to prepare my thoughts for that day, and as I was thinking as this day began to develop, I couldn't get my mind off of this today and how that God always did a work in a place that seemed so dangerous, in a place that seemed so always in a stormy situation. Always in a spot where it was a iffy place to be at times. And you'll find that over and over in the Word of God. I began thinking about that. I began thinking about how God showed up in so many different ways in a place that seemed so, so dangerous. And He made a difference every time that He ever showed up. And He did His work every time that He ever showed up in that place. It's truly remarkable to think about not only this story that I just read to you, but all of the other stories. For you see, the Sea of Galilee in some ways was going to be the areas around the Sea of Galilee. It was really ground zero for so much of the mighty works that the Lord had done. You see, the fact of the matter is, so much of what God had done was right there on those waters. And right there surrounding those waters on the Sea of Galilee. Story after story. So I titled my thoughts today what I'm calling Waters World. Waters World, simply because those waters were the very heartbeat of many of the things that Jesus did. He called many of the disciples off of the very shores of those waters. Men that went and turned the world upside down, the Bible talks about, or turned it right side up. Men that went out and they gave their whole life, they gave everything they had to the Lord. And they said, God, I am surrendering my whole world to You. It happened on those shores. How many of us today really need to do that? We need to surrender our whole heart, our whole life, our whole world to the Lord. Some of us today need to find us a place in this building. Say, God, I'm Yours. No matter what, I'm going to follow You and I'm going to honor You. Fact of the matter is, those waters were His world, but isn't it true that this entire world is His world? It wasn't just secluded only to those waters on the Sea of Galilee, but this entire world, it's all in His hands. I use the word waters world. Many of you may recognize the Fox TV personality Jesse Waters. Jesse Waters is a guy who has a show that is entitled Waters World. He's a real crafty guy. He's a real preppy guy. If you've ever seen him on TV, he's a real energetic guy. But he named his show Waters World, and he closes out his show with the tag, and he says, I'm Jesse Waters, and this is my world. Aren't you thankful that this world is not Jesse Waters' world? Aren't you thankful that it's not my world? It's not your world, but it is our Lord's. I want you to notice three things with me about this simple passage. I want you to get these things in your heart for some of us today, it ought to be real to us. Think first of all with me about the intensity of the problem, or there was an intense problem. Look with me again in verse number 37. The Bible says, "And there arose a great storm of wind." I talked about that a moment ago. "And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." They got out onto the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and they got out into the middle of the deepest part of the Sea of Galilee, and it was then that this great storm blew up. I mentioned a minute ago that I had the privilege of going onto the Sea of Galilee back several weeks ago, and while we were there, we were walking out the little pier to be able to get on the boat that we were getting on, the fishing boat. The whole size of the fishing boat may have been from here to right back there at that booth back there where Brother Leroy and Brother Kevin are. That may have been, that's from front to back, the whole size. It wasn't a big boat. It was a little bit bigger than what Jesus and the disciples were on. But do you know what happened as soon as we started walking out onto that pier out there? I looked out across the Sea of Galilee. I looked out across and I saw dark clouds making their way towards our location. Immediately my mind went to what I was going to be talking about on board the boat in just a little while. I thought, my goodness, could it be that there is a storm that is about to blow onto the Sea of Galilee right now? Is it possible that there, and of course in my mind, I'm thinking, it's going to be great. I'm going to get out here. I'm going to be in a storm out on the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and I'm going to be talking about the exact same thing, a storm that blew up that night here in Mark chapter 4. Would you believe we got on that boat and we had no longer put ourselves on the boat? They didn't even launch out yet before that wind started to blow, before the rain started to come, and it started raining so hard, and they did. They went ahead and launched out. It's not an uncommon thing for them. If we were over here somewhere, they would have, you know, they would have tied the boat up and said, it's too dangerous for us to go out. But I think there's been enough proof through the years that said that it's not so dangerous when you got the Lord on your boat. That's where these guys were. We got out there and we started to go out, and boy, the rain started coming. The boat started going back and forth. The wind was blowing, and it got so bad at one point, some of the pictures I've got, some of the guys, the crew, they were out there and they had the little plastic see-through, things, the little guards that would come down over the side of the boat to keep the rain from blowing in, because that's the way it would do. It'd blow sideways, and that water, that rain was blowing sideways as that storm blew up. I stood there that day, I've got video of it, and I preached that morning, that afternoon from Mark chapter 4 right here, and preached about the storm on the Sea of Galilee, and there I was standing on a boat in the Sea of Galilee, and a storm was going. And in my mind, I thought, surely this couldn't have been the same type of storm. No, the storm that they were in was far more intense than the storm that I was in. The storm that these disciples and Jesus were faced with was far more in depth. It was far more dangerous. These fellas literally thought that they were about to die. They got out into the deepest part of the Sea of Galilee, and they realized they were in a storm that was bigger than they were in their little world that day. You see, the Lord had told them to get in that boat. The Lord had told them they were going to the other side. And if they would have just listened in the very beginning to how God said, you're going to go to the other side, meaning you're going to make it to the other side. You don't have to panic. You don't have to fall apart. We're going to make it to the other side. They got out there though, but they went to panicking. They got scared to death. The storm was bigger than they were. They were at the deepest part of the sea, and they thought for sure that they were about to go down and they were going to die out on the Sea of Galilee. They had an intense problem that came into their life. Verse number 38 says, the Bible says, Jesus here, and he was in the hinder part. He's in the back of the ship. He was asleep. And it tells us here that he was on a pillow. In other words, he was somewhat comfortable, wasn't he? He was out. He was just enjoying a good nap, the Lord was. Wasn't worried at all about the storm that was going on around them. Jesus knew that he had everything under control, though the others on board that boat had no idea that God had everything under control. They had a mindset that surely the Lord's got everything under control. I mean, they were following Jesus. They had to have a level of confidence in him, of course. They were followers of him. They had some faith in who he was, sure. And they would express that, no doubt. But I tell you, when the wind of their life got to blowing, when the water started to come in, no matter how much we may say or no matter how much we may act from time to time that we've got faith in what God has the ability to do, when things get tough and when our backs are against the wall, that is when so oftentimes we go to panicking as well. Don't you think for one second that you and I aren't any different here today. Many of us today are in the storms of our life. We are fighting this battle. We are fighting that battle. The wind is blowing. The wind is great. The wind is raging. It is causing the waves to pound into the boat of our lives. And we feel truly like we are about to go down. And we are wondering, how is it possible that God in heaven is asleep? Where are you at in my life right now? And we lose every bit of faith that we ever said that we thought we had. These disciples, they had followed Christ. They knew Him well. They knew exactly who He was. They knew the ability that He had. But yet they got in the storm of their life. And they began to panic. They were having an intense problem. How many of you today have an intense problem in your life? Oh, it could be anything, couldn't it? Oh, you're dreading going to work tomorrow because you are scared about what the boss is going to do when he calls you into the office. Many of you, hey, I've been there before. You're dreading the day that you've got to pay your bills because you don't know if you're going to have enough money to get it done. It's fun paying bills when you got plenty of money to pay them. I tell you, it's something that just strikes terror in your heart when you know you just don't have it. Some go to the doctor. Find yourself in the middle of the storm, and it is an intense storm, a storm that you never thought that you would be in. How many of us today are in the intensity of the storm, an intense storm in our life? The wind is blowing. The waves are crashing. The water is piling into our boat, and you feel like you're drowning under it all. The water is creeping up. And before long, you're not going to be able to breathe anymore. You are going under. There was an intense problem. That's where the disciples were. Is that where you're at? Not only an intense problem, but notice how there was an immediate peace. There was an immediate peace. Look with me in verse number 38. Verse number 38. And they, the disciples, awake Him and say unto Him, I love these words, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Do you not care that we're about to die? Does it not bother you that I'm in a storm right now? Does it not bother you that we are about to become the statistics of just one more person who died on the Sea of Galilee, or 12 more people or whomever who died on the Sea of Galilee? Does it not matter to you, Lord, that you're about to lose some of the only people who gave their whole life to you? This isn't fair, God. I've done my best to follow you. I've done my best to leave all, to forsake all, to follow Christ. And it's just not fair right now that I'm in this situation and it seems that you don't care where I'm at. It seems the harder that I look for you, the more that I look for you, the less I'm seeing you in the circumstances of my life. If you were with us Wednesday night, boy, you missed a blessing Wednesday night. God dealt with my heart Wednesday night. And if you missed us Wednesday night, you missed a wonderful truth from God's Word. How so many times that we get into our time of prayer and the burden just gets heavier and heavier. And what do? We quit praying at that point. Sometimes stopping our prayer is not the answer. All the time it's not the answer. Sometimes God just wants us to change our strategy a little bit, as we learned from our Lord. But we're thinking right here, these guys, they were saying, Master, why do you not care? After everything we've given to you, everything we've done for you, why do you not care that we are in the storm of our life? Why is that? Look further at verse number 39. And he arose. He said, calm down, fellas. I got this. Calm down. It's all good. And he arose, and he rebuked the wind. Some months ago, last year, I guess, I preached a message on this passage of why he rebuked it. And how that he rebuked it, because there was an undertow of demonistic attack that was going on here. Jesus was going across the Sea of Galilee. Mark chapter 5, we will learn that he was going to that demoniac over in the land of the Gadarenes over there. He was about to break the chains of a man that everybody else had given up on. By the way, the only reason that Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee that night was just for one person. He turned around and he came right back. Aren't you thankful that he's interested in just one person? And it just doesn't have to be a great crusade of a lot of people, hundreds of people, thousands of people. He's interested in just one person. Friend, He's interested in you today. No matter what you're facing, no matter what the intensity of your problem is, He is interested in what you are faced with today. For He made His way across the Sea of Galilee. He made it, by the way. He got over there in Mark chapter 5, and He broke the chains of a man who'd gone slam crazy.
Amen.
He had been possessed with a devil. But when he met Jesus, everything worked out. He went over for one reason, to go and get him. And Jesus is saying, fellas, look, I've got this under control. There's somebody over there that I got to go and help. Somebody that I got to break the chains of. And all the forces of hell itself, all the demons of hell, which were in the middle of this storm that was trying to keep Jesus from going and doing what he needed to do, could not prevent him from doing this. Couldn't prevent him. And you mark it down that if you are doing what God wants you to do, all the demons in hell are not going to be able to sink your boat.
Amen.
These disciples were in the perfect center of God's will. And everything else was going to be all right. But don't forget this. They were in the center of God's will, but they were still in a storm. Now, whenever you get into a storm, there's always things to examine. Whenever I find myself in a storm, I start looking at things. I start examining what's going on. Now, I look at a wide range of things. The first thing that I look at is, Lord, what sin is in my life right now? What is it in my life that is wrong, that I need to make right, that you are chastening me for? Nothing wrong with that. That's the first place to start. Lord, what is wrong I need to make right? As the psalmist said, search me, Lord. I want you to make it known to me what I need to make right. But sometimes that's not always the reason why we're in a storm. Sometimes it is. And that's always the first place that you start. How many times have we said it before? Somebody who gives their life to the Lord, somebody who rededicates their life to the Lord, the first thing, and I try to warn people of this every time somebody gets saved or rededicates their life, the first thing they find, they're on a high, but they wake up the next morning and they find themselves in a fight and in a battle that they have never had before. Why? Because they took a step toward the Lord. It's not that they were out of the will of God. It's just that the devil was in the middle of that portion of their life. The devil didn't want them to take a step forward for God. And so therefore the devil would bring up a storm in the middle of one of the highest points of their life. Over and over we'll find it in Scripture that at the highest point of life, when we're on a peak for God, God's just had a mighty victory in our life, that's when the devil's going to try to bring us down and destroy us, bring us to that point of defeat. But the disciples were in that spot, but they were in the perfect will of God. He says right here, does Jesus, he said unto the sea, he said, peace, be still. He rebuked it. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I love that. The wind, the thing that was contrary, the thing that was causing all of the problem, that was shooting all the water into the boat, that was causing the wind to be able to blow the waves or the clouds to be able to dump the more and the more rain, causing all the problem, the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. Boy, I have to believe that as soon as Jesus said, peace be still, that it wasn't just the wind that ceased. I have to think that everything ceased. He didn't say specifically to the wind to cease. Did you notice it? He said, peace be still. He rebuked the underworld, the devil and his attacks that were going on. And he said, peace be still. Is it possible that every bird in the air stopped? Is it possible that every fish under the sea stopped? Every bit of sea life, the moon or the earth stopped rotating maybe, everything stopped. And all of a sudden, peace. Be still. I don't have time to get into it right now, but I tell you, there have been days in my life where the storm of my life was bigger than I could have ever dreamed. I could have ever imagined. I remember one night, Melissa wasn't home for whatever reason. I remember it was in the house we currently live in. It's been years ago. And I tell you, the battle was raging in my life about, I don't even remember what it was. But I felt so compelled to just go get alone with the Lord. And I remember that night going, nobody was home. And I went into the living room and I just got on my knees. I said, God, I sure need your intervention right now. I was saying, really, I got an intense problem. The pressure of whatever it was, I mean, I remember it was on, though I remember not what it was. There was something that was weighing me down. And I got on my knees. I said, Lord, I'm not going to move until I hear from you. I can't tell you how long I prayed that night. I can't tell you that. But I remember there was a moment when the Spirit of God just walked into my house. And He took every battle that I was facing, every struggle that I was having, the intensity of the storm that I was in, the problem that I was facing, and there was a peace that just came over me. That it didn't matter what next week held, didn't matter what the next day held, God was going to take care of it.
Amen.
He was going to take care of every problem that I was faced with. There are times when you need Him the most that He will show up. He may not give you a dollar. He may not give you a good doctor report. But He will give you a peace that is far more valuable than anything else that this world could ever provide. That's what Jesus did right here. He said peace. Surely everything had to stop for a minute. Be still. But remember where it all started. The disciples said, Master, carest thou not? Why don't you care that we are perishing, that we're going down? They thought they were dying. And that's where it all started. Why don't you care about the situation that we are in? From the very moment that Jesus got up, He proved, I do care. And friends, He cares about you. He cares about where you're at. Now, I don't want you to miss this right now. Because when they found themselves in the middle of the intense storm, the intense problem of their life, what did they do? They did not, oh listen, they did not abandon ship. They did not jump off of the boat. They did not go and start talking among themselves and ignore Christ. They did not run from Jesus. They went straight to Jesus. Understanding that Christ was their only hope in the middle of their situation right then. In the middle of their problem. Brother Farley, I have been amazed through the years at the amount of people who get in the intense problems of their lives. And the first thing they do is they quit coming to church. The first time we start having financial problems, the first thing we do is quit giving to the Lord. Tithe, missions, whatever it is. The first thing we do is stop reading our Bible. The first thing we do is stop praying. By the way, it only starts with one of those things, and it won't be long until it's the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. Before long, you are a shell of what you used to be for God. You are a statistic, just as these disciples were saying, hey, we're about to become that statistic. You know what you're doing when you do that? You're running the opposite direction from Jesus. What would have happened to the disciples had they run the opposite direction, had they abandoned the ship that God was on? We know what would have happened. They would have been devoured. They would have been done. But they ran straight to Jesus. And they said, though I'm in the middle of my storm, there is only one person who has the ability to bring me peace in the middle of it. This is where we got to be so careful not to be a bunch of hypocritical people. Can I say that? simply because we say that we trust God. We say that we believe Him. We say that we're going to go with Him, but when we get into the middle of the storm, we run the opposite direction. We go the other way. And we prove to the Lord that we were not who we really said we were. We were not as committed to Him as we said we were. The disciples made their way straight to the only hope they had. There is a place for different resources to help us in the problems of life. But they are all secondary to the only one who's got the ability to bring your marriage through your struggle. Amen. The only one that has the ability to reclaim that child. The only one that has the ability to carry you through one more day of health. That's Jesus. Amen. May God help us, those of us today that are in the storms of our lives. We are in the problems of our lives. May we quit running the other direction and just start looking for Him. Run straight to Him, for He is our only hope. An intense problem they had. There was an immediate peace. The Lord spoke peace to the wind. Everything had to have stopped. But think about this. There was an indescribable person as well. An indescribable person. The 40th verse speaks a bit of it. Would you look at it with me? And He, that is Jesus, said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? You come to Me in a panic, guys." How many of us today are in a panic right now? How many of us today, when we had our prayer time just a few minutes ago, we were in a panic about whatever we're faced with, the problem, storm of our life? Jesus says, why were you in such a panic? Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Jesus is saying, how is it? After everything that I've taught you, everything that you've seen, how is it that you can have no more confidence in Me than to respond and react the way you just have? Jesus here point blank tells them, you have no faith. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard Jesus preach? He wouldn't have danced around issues. He's going right at it. He says, you guys have no faith at all. You have no confidence in who I am. And keep in mind, this is after He had just rebuked it and after He had just calmed it. He went and did what He had to do for them, by the way, just to calm them down. He went and did what He had to do, and then He says, guys, come on over here. We got to have one of these come to Jesus meetings right now. Everybody sit down here on the boat. I'm disappointed in you, fellas. I'm disappointed that you didn't have any more confidence in Me than what you just displayed in your life. If the Lord walked in this building right now, would He have to sit right here? Would He have to say, I'm disappointed in you? I'm disappointed in you and 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 me? Why'd you not have any more confidence? Why do you not have any more confidence in Me? He's saying, think about it. Think about it. Your faith is so, so weak. Now notice what verse number 41 says. The Bible says, and they, the disciples, feared exceedingly. Said one to another, now they're talking to each other, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey Him? If you write in your Bible, and if you have a pencil or a pen, underscore those words, underline those words, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? You know what they were saying? What out of this world kind of man is this that has the ability to do this? I've never met anybody like this, is what they're saying. Time and time again, he's proved himself to me, but this was a biggie. And I've never seen God show up the way he just showed up there. In the middle of my problem, he spoke peace. And they would live the rest of their lives trying to describe what the Lord had really done for them. But to a lost world that is out there, they never are able to understand. Until they experience it. I look around this room right now and I think about a few people who could probably say, what manner of man is this that I serve? What out of this world kind of God is this that I serve? I look at my life and I tell you, I didn't picture God putting me where he's put me and doing in my life and family what he's done. And all I can say is, what out of this world kind of God is this that I serve? I've heard your testimony, brother, and I think that I can say with confidence that you're sitting here right now and you're saying to your heart, what out of this world kind of God is this that I serve that has taken me and changed me? I've heard your testimony, and there's no doubt you're saying, what out of this world kind of God is this that has taken me and changed me? What out of kind of this world God is this that has taken my body and touched it right now? What out of this world kind of God is this that would take a drug dealer and change my world and change my life? On and on and on. Bunch of drunks. That's what we are. Much of old drug dealers, that's what we are, users. What out of this world kind of man is this that could take you and change your life? There's somebody here today that needs this God I'm talking about. Somebody that needs this God I'm talking about. And there is no doubt that you're wondering if this God can do for you what he's done for others. You are faced with problem after problem after problem. You are struggling. You can't keep your head above water. You are going down. You are panicking. But you're running the opposite direction from where you need to run. That same God that calmed this storm, that same God that changed all of these lives that are in here can change your life today. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. He can change your life. And you too one day will be able to say what these disciples said. What out of this world kind of man had the ability to do this in my life? Only God. He'll do it for you. Stand to your feet. Altars of God are open. Maybe you just want to fall down and say thank you, Lord.